Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tetragon Financial Group Q2 conference call. All lines will be in listen-only mode throughout the whole conference. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you all, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, Mr. David Wojnar, who is one of the founding principals. Please begin your meeting, and I will be standing by.
Thank you. As one of the principals of Tetragon Financial Group, I'd like to welcome you to our investor call, which will focus on second quarter 2008 results and provide an update on progress to date. The format of today's call will be similar to our previous investor calls. Phil Bland, the CFO for both Polygon and Tetragon, will present Tetragon's Q2 and mid-year financial 2008 results, as well as report on our quarterly dividend announcement. I will provide an overview on our portfolio and key performance metrics, and Mike Rosenberg, also a founding principal of Tetragon, will provide a market outlook and discuss opportunities for Tetragon in the future. I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial conditions on the products and markets in which TFG invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Phil, our CFO.
Thanks very much, David. I'm pleased to report that Tetragon's business has continued to perform well during the second quarter of 2008, with strong cash receipts underpinning stable income and earnings. As in the previous quarterly calls, I'm going to focus my comments on the performance of the consolidated business. As a reminder, that covers Tetragon Financial Group Limited, or TFG, our Euronext-listed company, Tetragon Financial Group LP, the U.S. feeder fund, and Tetragon Financial Group Master Fund Limited. As at June 30th, TFG owns 100% of the Master Fund, and that follows the exchange of the remaining LP investors' partnership interests into shares of TFG in accordance with the previously announced exchange agreement between TFG and Tetragon Financial Group LP. That simplified the structure and should result in a reduction in cost and overhead going forward. Turning to the consolidated statement of operations, our earnings per share for the second quarter were $0.36, which matched the EPS in Q1, and that led us to yield a rounded half-year performance of $0.73 per share. Top-line consolidated revenues of $55.7 million were generated in the quarter. It's helpful to look at this in conjunction with the unrealized gain on investments in the quarter of $9.7 million, which gives a quarterly total of $65.4 million. The corresponding number for Q1 was $49 million, so quite an increase. While investment income for investments was broadly flat quarter-on-quarter, interest income on cash deposits fell as we used excess cash to reduce our leverage, although at the same time, we're able to reduce interest expense by considerably more. Leverage is going to be covered in more detail by David later in the call. One of the key components of our business is really driven by the IRRs, and the weighted average IRR ended the period at 16.6%, up approximately 0.6% from the end of Q1. This takes us back to the levels that we saw at the beginning of the year. The increase during the second quarter reflected, among other things, the continuation of the positive impact of spread widening, the fact that some of our managers took the opportunity to buy loans at a discount in the secondary market, as well as positive LIBOR rate reset mismatch. Of course, defaults and losses incurred in the underlying collateral are also key inputs to the IRR calculation, and these can also be discussed further by David in the portfolio section. Our operating expenses, excluding incentive fees, fell again quarter-on-quarter. The 16% fall was a result of a continued reduction in repo borrowings and hence interest expense. Other expenses were basically unchanged quarter-on-quarter. Moving on to the realized and unrealized gains section of the statement of operations, credits and FX hedging activities resulted in a loss of $1.1 million compared to a gain of $9.5 million in the previous quarter. which is due in part to a relative credit spread tightening compared to the previous quarter. On the investment portfolio, as previously noted, there was an increase in unrealized appreciation on investments of $9.7 million in Q2, which was the result of the uptick in IRRs to 16.6%. The Q2 incentive fee of $9.6 million was calculated using a hurdle rate of 5.3316%, and that rate has now been reset for Q3 at 5.4354%, and that's in accordance with TFG's investment management agreement. Taking into account all the items I've just mentioned, our consolidated net income after incentive fees remained very stable quarter on quarter at close to $46 million. At the same time, we generated around $118 million of cash through the portfolio, contributing to total first half cash receipts of around $192 million. This exceeded the rate at which income was recognized on the portfolio, with the excess being accounted for as a pay down of principal, i.e. a reduction in fair value. So our consolidated net assets continue to grow as a result of strong retained earnings. Net assets grew to around $1.32 billion by the end of the quarter, representing $10.44 per share, and that's an increase from $10.25 per share at the end of Q1. Finally, in this section, a quick word on new disclosures in the interim financial statements. FAS 157, which is covering fair value measurements, became effective from the beginning of this financial year. And while it doesn't change the way that our fair values are determined in our portfolio, it does result in some additional disclosures, and you'll find those in Note 2 to the accounts. Our entire portfolio of CLO equity investments is categorized under Level 3 for FAS 157 reporting, and our hedges are generally categorized under Level 2. Having covered the financial highlights, I'd like to turn now to the second quarter dividend announcement. In line with previous quarters, the Board of Directors considered both the performance of the company on a net income basis and the cash generated by the investment portfolio before deciding to approve a dividend payment of 15 cents per share with respect to Q2, so that's consistent with the last few quarters. Going forward, we'd expect to continue to pay quarterly dividends consistent with the level of earnings and cash flow growth, both of which, as you've heard, are performing well. Investors will continue to have the opportunity to receive their Q2 dividend either fully or partially in the form of TFG shares rather than cash through TFG's optional stock dividend program. The conversion ratio will be published to the website on the 8th of August, and elections should be made in the usual way by the 18th of August. So to summarize my section, despite the continuation of a pretty challenging market environment, and Michael will talk more about the market later, the management team and the board are pleased to have delivered stable results for the quarter and indeed for the half year in terms of income, net assets, cash flow and dividend. And with that, I'd like to pass back to David to comment on TFG's portfolio and risk profile.
Thanks, Bill. At present, our investment portfolio consists of 61 performing CLO investments. These are managed by 32 different collateral managers, representing a fair value of approximately $1.32 billion. No new CLO investments were made during the quarter, as cash flow was primarily used to pay down corporate-wide leverage. We believe that the portfolio continues to be diversified across underlying asset classes and geographies, with approximately 61% of risk capital invested in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. broadly syndicated senior secured loans, 24% invested in CLOs with primary exposure to European broadly senior secured loans, and the balance, 15%, in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. middle market senior secured loans. Our CLO investments were cash generative during the quarter, returning $118 million of cash during the 3 months ending June 30, 2008. This compares with Q1 2008 cash flow of $74 million. This increased cash flow result is driven in large part by trading and reinvestment strategies used by our managers, taking advantage of secondary loan price volatility as well as favorable short-term LIBOR mismatch, between many of our transactions, assets, and liabilities. It's worth noting that the cash flow profile is not expected to be evenly spread over the year. Based on our current cash flow projections, we expect to receive approximately $325 million in 2008. On a look-through basis, Tetragon's exposure to senior secured loans totals over $17 billion, underpinned by $1.32 billion of permanent equity capital. This equates to an approximate effective Tier 1 capital ratio of 7.8%, in line with commercial banks. Tetragon's exposure continues to be diversified in approximately 1,700 corporate obligors, the substantial majority of which are U.S. names, with the remainder being European-based. At present, we consider Tetragon to be in a fully invested position, which allows us to be discerning follow-on investors. We have further reduced portfolio-wide leverage from 1.09 times at the end of Q1 down to 1.03 times through June 30th. We continue to strengthen the balance sheet via reduced leverage, though we are able to maintain returns due to, among other things, active trading and reinvestment strategies that have taken advantage of discounted secondary loan prices. We believe that the present approach of accumulating cash and/or paying down outstanding financing is a prudent one in this marketplace. Meanwhile, we will continue to selectively seek appropriate investments both in primary and or secondary market. During the year, net borrowings, this is defined as total borrowings less cash and amounts due from our counterparties, have been reduced approximately 63%. Net borrowings through June 30th were $69.4 million, down from approximately $186 million at the end of 2007. We expect to continue to reduce borrowings over the coming quarters. Institutional loan defaults increased to 1.7% by principal amount at the end of Q2 2008, according to S&P LCD, up from 0.24% at the end of 2007. By comparison, Tetragon's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate ended the quarter at 1.3%. This is 22% below the market rate. Our goal is to continue this market outperformance trend, and we believe that our CLO managers, based on their past performance through various credit cycles, are well positioned to do so. Another measure we track closely is net loss reserves. Through Q2 2008, our excess loss reserves increased, with approximately $137 million of these loss reserves having been factored into our IRR calculations at June 30th. At the end of 2007, excess loss reserves were approximately $106 million. These excess net loss reserves are CLO specific, and the total figure of $137 million represents the aggregate sum of these reserves experienced in the underlying loan portfolios of each CLO. Our exposure to covenant-lite loans has remained steady at approximately 15%, well below the 35% new issue levels that were prevalent in early 2007. Exposures to second lien loans is also unchanged at approximately 6%, well below the CLO norm of approximately 10 to 15%. On the hedging front, we continue to deploy single name hedges to mitigate concentration and watch list exposures. At present, no single bank loan facility exposure is above 75 basis points of total loan assets. We also are using the high yield index as an overall macro hedge to help mitigate jump to default risk. I'll now turn the call over to Mike, who will provide a market outlook.
Great, thanks, Dave. Market conditions during the second quarter were similar to the first quarter, characterized by rising defaults and corresponding wider loan asset yields. Loan default rates in the U.S. and Europe have steadily crept up, although they are still below their historical averages. Of note is that the majority of defaults that have been experienced to date have been with relatively smaller issuers. As Dave mentioned, from a default perspective, we've outperformed the market. We do expect to see default rates continue their upward migration for the remainder of 2008 and into 2009. Correspondingly, loan yields continue to remain wide by historical measures at approximately LIBOR plus 500 basis points. The secondary market provides our managers the opportunity to purchase discounted price assets, which helps build par value and increase the par cushions for many of our CLO transactions. With respect to the primary loan market, volumes are down significantly, with under $100 billion of senior loan volume through the first half of 2008. However, the loans that have come out include, in our view, a more lender-friendly credit profile with higher spreads and lower leverage. To give you an example, according to S&P, senior loans originated in the first half of 2008 had a half a turn lower amount of leverage, from 4.7 to 4.2 times for European transactions, and a full turn lower amount of leverage for U.S. transactions, from 4.4 to 3.4 times EBITDA multiple. We also note a couple of interesting developments that have been covered in the press in recent days, both of which may be interesting signs that the leveraged loan market is moving, albeit slowly, towards becoming more functional again. The first, from DealLogic, is that banks have cleared as much as $300 billion of leveraged loans from their balance sheets, which they estimate is 80% of the total backlog. The second is that Goldman Sachs recently raised $10 billion to start a fund to support leveraged buyouts focused on senior loans. As we've mentioned on previous calls, but worth reiterating, the current environment of rising defaults and wider asset yields is one that we envisioned we could encounter when we first set up Tetragon, and that is one of the reasons that we intended to be a permanent capital company from the onset. We therefore believe that Tetragon is well positioned among its peer group heading into a down credit cycle. On the new investments front, it's been very quiet as we've used net cash flows to pay down corporate-wide debt. The global CLO issuance for the second quarter amounted to approximately $43 billion. This does represent a significant deceleration from the pace of 2007 issuance, but showed a mild improvement in the second quarter versus the first quarter issuance volumes. New CLO transactions have typically contained lower structural leverage, which does help reduce the deal sensitivities to a spike in defaults. We continue to monitor the new issue market in addition to any secondary market activity and expect to begin making select investments in senior secured loan structures over the coming quarters. We believe that the current market environment has led several market participants to exit the CLO market. We therefore anticipate that our stable capital base will allow us to continue to achieve what we think are favorable terms on any new CLO investments going forward. I want to conclude my section with a few words on our marketing activities. Expanding our investor base and continuing investor education continue to be priorities for the Tetragon management team. During the quarter, we participated in Merrill Lynch's Specialty Finance Conference in London, presented at the UBS Financial Services Conference in New York, and conducted our third non-deal roadshow through Deutsche Bank. With that, we're going to end the call. Please do not hesitate to contact us with any questions, and we do look forward to speaking with you in the future. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending the conference today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.